Thank the Lord for the good message we heard this morning and for the inspiration of God. I still enjoy good services, and I hope I never get tired of that. It's something that's wonderful, and it just blesses your soul. I have a little, something the Lord dropped on my heart some time ago I would like to share with you, and do desire your prayers this afternoon. The Lord would bless us. The book of Luke, the 24th chapter, I think about our spiritual dullness that can get in our lives sometimes, and I'm asking the Lord to help me. I don't want to be spiritually dull. I want to be able to understand His Word. I want to be able to understand the lessons that He teaches us. And I believe it's important for us all. In this 24th chapter, we'll read here where Jesus was walking down the road together with His disciples. The 13th chapter, maybe we'll start there. "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. They talked together of all these things which had happened, and it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden, that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, and you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answered and said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast thou not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And He said unto them, What things? And they said unto Him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. When they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but Him they saw not. And then He said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to have entered into His glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning Himself." How wonderful it is when the Lord can reveal things to our hearts. He can show us even the deep things of God. I'm thankful this afternoon that we have a Savior that's still interested in us, understanding His Word and understanding His ways. The little thought that I had this afternoon was seeing more than just a shadow. I think of one time the Lord spoke and said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And I believe the Scripture said there, some thought it thundered, and some heard one thing and some another. And how important it is when God speaks to us that we hear what He is trying to say. And it takes a trained ear. It sometimes takes some experience before we can understand what God is trying to say to us. Hearing more than just a muffled sound, hearing more than strange noises, but understanding the voice of God and what He is trying to say to us. You know, if I came up here and I just kind of, I'm going to do bad at this, but I can see right here about as my head. And I might get this way out of proportion. Whoops. I can't see very well. But, you know, when you just have a shadow to go by, and some of you are going to think that's not a very good But I'm looking, I'm just kind of looking at myself there. That's about all I can see. That's just about it. I can't see anything. There's no facial expressions I can see of myself. You think, well, that's pretty rough drawing, but and that is a. But I'm just looking at kind of the shadow. I'm looking at something that it's a reflection off of something else, and I'm not getting a real detail. You know, if you get really detailed, you could see that I have glasses. You could see there's a little hair. You could see there's eyes, and you could see the facial features and different things about me. You tell the color. You could see a little bit of my shirt. You could see just a few things. And my thought this afternoon is, God, help us to see more than just a shadow, just a vague image of things, just something that is a real rough draft. And we never get the real details. We never get close enough to God to see some of the fine print and see some of the detail of God. He's beautiful to look on. He's beautiful. His ways are beautiful. His people are beautiful. And He wants each one of us to be able to give some description of Him. You know, some scripture that this over here in the book of Matthew, the 16th chapter, this has stirred my heart for some time. I've been reading this, and Jesus came to His disciples, and in the 16th chapter of Matthew, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" A casual question, and you know, some of them had heard different things, and they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" That has really been going over and over in my mind. I don't really care. Jesus was saying, I'm not concerned about what the world thinks and says about me, but you've been with me here a few months. And you've known me for a few years. You've been around me. What do you think of me? Do you see any detail? Do you see anything in my life that can witness to your soul? Do you see anything in there that gives you a clue of who I am? You know, I like the answer here that Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." How beautiful that was. He was able to see more than just the outline. He was able to see who the Christ was. And that is my personal desire with the Lord, to see more than just a rough sketch of Him, but to see and know that Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Who do you say that He is today? Is all what we have to describe of Jesus, would it be all that other people have said about Him? And that is part of your description? Or as Brother Marty was saying this morning, do we have some personal glimpses of Him that helps us to be able to describe Him personally? Yeah. To be able to say, "I saw Him. Here's what He looks like to me." I may not give your best description, but here's mine of what I see of Him. All of us were influenced in our growing up stages. My impressions of God came from my mother. Where did your impressions come from? Maybe yours was opposite. Yours came from your dad. Or maybe you had a Sunday school teacher and your best impressions of God came from her. That's a good thing. I've got some impressions that were made on my mind when I was a child. I remember walking to church. I remember my mom's desire to be there at church. And we as boys found a better way to get there than walk those long blocks. We found if we cut to this neighbor's yard and the fence was part way down, we could just go over that fence and we shaved off some time. So we coaxed our mom into cutting across that neighbor's yard and jumping over that fence. Well, Mama had a dress on. She didn't jump over the fence. She barely, and I remember the hard time she had. She said, boys, we're not going to do this anymore. This is just not the thing to do. We're going to walk around. But her desire to be at church, her desire, you know, when things is going rough, I remember my mom, and it bothered me sometimes. I remember hearing her pray. She'd put us to bed and go around the corner of the house, and she would pray. And I remember when she started praying for us boys, and I just wanted to pull the covers up over my head. I didn't want to hear it. But now that I look back and I see these details, one thing after another, you know, when things got rough, my mom would pray. And when there would be troubles and whatever, I remember we were fishing one time, and one of us lost my dad's pocket knife in the lake, and it, Lake Ten Killer, and it fell out of the boat. And we caught a fish, and in that fish's mouth or down there was my dad's pocket knife. I tried to have that story printed in the Sepulpa paper, and they wouldn't print it. I was telling these deputies, we went back one time with the sheriff's office, and we were scuba diving and right in that same area, and I said, boys, I got to tell you a story. Right here, there used to be an old boat dock. And right here, I dropped my dad's pocket knife, and we caught a fish, and he was looking at me. Well, we better go on to something else. I don't know what to say about him, but they didn't believe me. But it was true. You see, my mom knew how hot-tempered my dad was, and we'd be in trouble when he found out his knife was gone. But in that fish is down in his, I can't remember which one of us dropped it, which one of us caught the fish, but my brothers would tell you that's a true story. My mom reminded me years after that happened, but you see, impressions are made upon our minds when we're young of things that happen. And here's what I'm thinking of. It goes along with what Brother Marty was saying. Our stories in life and our perception of reality. God wants to be personal to us to help us to put the finishes on. He wants to make color in our life. He wants to have a little nose here and some eyes and eyebrows, and there be some glasses that go on there somehow, you know. And he just wants, he wants there to be something special in our life that we can draw details, that we're seeing more than just a shadow. We're seeing more than just little images. We see things that are real. We see things that we have. John said, let me read this to you. It's so beautiful in the first chapter of John how he opens up in here. Say that again.
First John 3.
It might be 1 John 3. Thank you. He said, our hands have handled that which was from, that's it, 1 John, the first chapter, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we've seen with our eyes and looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. It's more than getting it secondhand. You know, secondhand food, folks, you think about it. I don't think mothers do this, but used to, they chew up the food when they're trying to get their baby to eat, you know, meat and solid foods. The mothers would chew it up and then hand it to the baby. Now, imagine, I mean, that's, I know somebody could go on that. When was that? 100 years ago? But that used to happen. And some of you, if you've done it today, I don't know about it. I'm not picking on nobody, so don't feel bad. I don't know nothing. But how would you like to come to church and get secondhand food all the time? That's what you're coming to church. You're getting secondhand food. I get an inspiration from God. I chew it up. And then I reach over there. Take a bite. How do you like that? Oh! Is that what it's... secondhand food? Is that what we... we try to get is all his secondhand. How about you getting a piece of it first before I get it? How about you getting something to eat from God and you're able to draw some, put some detail in it? I got this from the Lord. That which we have seen, that which we've heard is wonderful. But it comes down more than that. What? Who do you say that I am? And John said, our hands have handled. We've heard it. We've seen it. And he said, we've looked upon and we've handled it. The word of life. That is when the details start coming in and it makes it beautiful. Imagine going through life and all we have, we've had good teachings. There's no doubt. A lot of, we've had good teachings. There's been good things we've learned from people. We've heard it from our moms. We've heard it from our dads. But that's all we've got is secondhand instruction. We got it come from somebody else. Now, when it comes to the application, now, you've got an idea what salvation is all about. You have this idea. But now, it's your job to put the details on it.
Amen.
It's your job. It is up to us now to go more than what Mama taught me and my daddy taught me. And I've been in a bunch of good people. I've been with good folks. They taught me right. I respected them and honored them. The Lord said, wait a minute though. You've got to start putting in the details. You've got to have something first hand. You've got to experience some of these stories. And some of us, brethren, was talking a while ago how expensive these stories are. They cost you something.
That's right.
It costs something. Some of these, when there's a story that sometimes we have, they're costly.
Yeah.
You might say, yeah, and I want you to pay the price for them and then I'll tell other people about them. No, the Lord's going to have, you've got your special time with God coming. You're going to have your chance to give a description, but who do you say that I am? I want to hear and I want to see what kind of picture you're going to put here. You know, in the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it says the law was a shadow of good things to come. It wasn't the very image of it.
That's right.
But it was a shadow. You could draw a silhouette. You could see Christ. How wonderful. When I think of Isaiah and his portrayal of Christ, almost 1900 years in that area before he was even born, he could almost draw you a picture as if he was taking he was personally acquainted with him. And we're 1900 years away. We're a long period of time away, but Isaiah could see him. He is a man. He is despised. We wouldn't know him from any other man. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him. Isaiah could help us to understand his nature. He would be a man that was not very high esteemed. And it said one place, I believe in the 53rd chapter, maybe I should just read just a little bit there. I've been reading in Isaiah how beautiful it is. It said, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. I'm reading in the 53rd chapter. He shall grow up and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He's not going around with a halo around his head. He was not going around and with perfect facial features. He was a man. But Isaiah was able to see him. He was able and he was through faith able to see him. He was able to give to us enough description of him And the people that would be reading these writings, they would feel like, when I see him, I'll know him. It's like something so beautiful. But he said here, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. And he goes on down and he tells about his arrest. He tells about what he went through. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet opened he not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. Folks, if this was before Christ was even born, today with all the gospel preaching, the messages, and everything that we have today with the Holy Spirit that is revealing and showing us things, what kind of picture should we be? What kind of Christ should we be radiating out of our lives? He was taken from prison and judgment. Who shall declare his generation? Who would even stand up for him and say, I know where he was born. He was born of Mary and Joseph. I grew up with him. I know him. I know the man. I know him. We lived around the same town for years. But nobody would stand up for him. Nobody would declare his generation. Nobody would declare where he's from, what he was. He was just a nobody. How vivid Isaiah's prophecy was of the Son of God. And I'm telling you today, I really see that we need more detail in our lives. We need to be have an experience with God that we can fill in the blanks. This is what Christ means to me. This is how, and I love the testimony of the saints. I love to hear when there's unbearable pain and there's lots of troubles and great stress and all going on, that the Lord just appeared and took that away. That's beautiful to me. Oh, the book of Psalms, I'd like to read here, the 18th. Someone read this for me, please. Psalms 18 and 28. Would you read that for us? And I want to read over here in the book of Luke.
For thou wilt light my candle, the Lord my God will enlighten my darkness.
Thank the Lord. That's what we need, folks, for the Lord to light our candle. If we're walking in darkness and the sparks of our own fire, we need the Lord to light our candle. We need to help Him. We need to let Him help us so we can begin to see how beautiful He is. Don't just live another person's life. Don't just live and copycat someone else. Have something real for yourself. You know, I think of the time when the lady came back and she was telling them about the woman at the well and was telling these men all about this. Come see a man that told me all that I ever did. And it said they went and it said, we believe, not just because what you said, but we've seen ourselves. That's what I'm interested in this afternoon. I want to see that myself personally. I want to be able to have the details of Christ. And he said here, for thou wilt light my candle. How beautiful when the Lord gives us inspiration. It said that he would light our candle. He would bring light to our darkness. Psalms 119 and 130. And I'm going to read here in Luke. I'll read this here, 119 and 130. The entrance of thy words giveth life, and it gives understanding, I believe, to the, and it giveth understanding unto the simple. The entrance of the words gives life and he gives understanding to the simple. Luke 24 and 37 says that he opened, 32nd verse. And they said unto one another, did not our heart burn within us while we talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Having the scriptures opened up to us is something very needful. God wants to open up the scriptures to us. He wants to open up his ways. And to have more than just a secondhand experience, to have more than just having something that has been passed down, but have something real to be able to see. I remember another story. My mom, one time, she had rheumatic fever for the second time. And I think the first time she was expecting me, and her fever went real high, and they told her, said, you won't be able to walk again. It'll do damage and different things. But, you know, the Lord touched my mom. I remember the second time she got it, I was a little boy, and she was in bed, and Sister Emery, that is Brother Ori Young's aunt, came over to our house. And I remember going into my mom and dad's bedroom, and I was just kind of standing out the door looking in, and she said, now, Ruby, I'm going to get you up out of bed. We're going to walk today. I remember my mom didn't seem like she was too inspired. Said, no, you put your arms around my neck and we're going to get out of this bed and we're going to walk. And so she said, now when you put your feet on the floor, you say, praise the Lord. I tell you, I was just right there. I was an eyewitness. This was my mom and this is Sister Emery. And so here they go. She hadn't been able to hardly walk. That rheumatic fever had done something to her. But I remember on that wood floor, I remember my mom got her feet on the floor and Sister Emery, my mom had her arms kind of around her neck, and they got up and started going down the hall and started praising the Lord. And my mom walked again.
Glory to God.
I tell you, there's things that,
yes, amen.
Maybe it didn't happen to me directly, but I was an eyewitness of it. I heard it. I saw it. And it put features to me what Christ was like that has lasted now for almost 55 years. That I see that 55 years ago, I've seen that. As Brother Marty said this morning, there's some things old and there's some things new. It's wonderful. Now, we're called upon today to see more than the shadow. We're called upon today to give some features of what Christ is like, what he means to me. Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, your personal witness now? He wants to hear that. I am so thankful that we have a Heavenly Father that helps us, and he brings out the features in our life. Thank God for that today. When he lights our candle, when he begins to reveal the book of Matthew 11:25, Jesus was praying there and he said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed him to babes. I thank thee, Father, that you have a way of revealing truth to your little children. You have a way of showing what is right. You know, I think about people. My mom was one. She said the place we were going to before, she said, I wasn't getting any spiritual food. And when they passed the cup of dregs around, the poison of the man rule and all that going on, my mom didn't partake of it. It wasn't a literal cup of man rule they passed around, but it was the spirit of it. It was something that was going around. Some people would take it and some wouldn't. My mom and a few others refused it. We can't go along with this man rule thing. It's not of God. How'd you like me to go and say to the trustees, you all go out there and lock these doors. Every door in this place is going to be locked. Nobody's going to get out of here. Not one of you is going to get out until you have a confession. And you say that you agree with what I'm preaching. And these other ministers are sitting here that you have confidence. Lock all the doors. My mom just said, I couldn't take no more of it. And they got out. She went back years later and she said, you want to go? They're having some revival. And I'd grown up by then. I said, okay, we'll go. And I watched the minister there, the same one that told the people, lock the doors. I watched him look directly at my mom and make a face using his hands and pull his face all down. He said, some people are just like this. They're all gloomy all the time and looking right at my mom. And my mom's heart was heavy. You know, she didn't belong there in that place. And she just wanted to see if maybe there's something changed. But oh, it was a confirmation. We talked later when we got home. That's no place for us. You know, I'm thankful, folks, that God has a way of revealing truth to our hearts. When you're honest and you want to know, is this right? Is this really of God? He's got a way of revealing things to us. You see, He wants you to see Him. Not just have all the crowd around you and people. You know, there's sometimes I feel like we are moved by the crowd. If there's a lot of people and everybody's kind of doing the same thing, it gives you one of those warm feelings. Yeah, I'm glad I got this. I I'm right. Because if I wasn't, well, there wouldn't be so many people. But you know, there's something so much better than that. When everybody is going the wrong way and you're following God, there is something that it's so wonderful to see Him, to be able to see Him and see His face, to be able to see Him in tribulation, to be able to see Him when He's silent, to be able to see Him when there's nobody encouraging around and the crowd is gone. There's something about knowing God and having truth in your heart that just sticks with you. There's too much shallowness, I believe, sometimes. There's, and I've prayed about this. Lord, help me. That's where it starts. I don't want to be shallow. I don't want to be a shallow person that just gets so close. And I've heard people say to me, oh, brother, I'm afraid God might be calling me to preach. What? You're afraid that God might be calling you to... Afraid of what? Afraid of what? If He's called you to do that, you don't have to be afraid. That's the best thing in life for you. That'll be your spot in life. If you're afraid of the calling of God, we'll never be able to fill in the blanks here. Folks, our life will be a continual fear factor. Oh, that's what God is like. Oh, He's going to call me to preach. As if that was the worst thing in the world that could happen to you. Oh, He might call. He might want something from me. What? You want to fill in the blanks or not? Or do we just want to have something dry? And just the image, just the shadow. That's all we got. Wouldn't that be awful? I could just get, how beautiful. Oh, look how beautiful this is. Don't you folks see how beautiful? Oh, I saw. And that's, you're trying to tell me that thing is beautiful? No. That's nothing. That's just a form. It's just a shadow. The law was like that. It was a schoolmaster bringing us to Christ. That's all it was. It was a schoolmaster. It was telling us, be prepared. John said, there's a one coming behind me. I'm not even worthy to tie his shoes. He's the one you need to fear. He's the one you need to watch. He's the one. The gospel has such a wonderful way of preparing us for Christ. Your life is in stages. It's in steps. And what God is trying to do with us today is to prepare us and help us through lessons, through different avenues. He's preparing us. And now He wants you to start putting in the facial features. He wants you to start filling in the blanks. And He sometimes has to use extreme pressure on us. He sometimes has to go to extremes to get us to see, start writing, start reading, start praying, start testifying about me. Don't be held back in fear. I heard a story of how Handel, the Messiah, had come about. And this Joseph Handel, I believe, he was a bitter man and was thinking of committing suicide and was ready to jump off a bridge, was ready to end it all, was done with religion, couldn't stand it. But somehow, through different means of the Lord working with this man and having mercy on him, he was able to write that beautiful song. And for days and weeks he stayed in his room, and people were so worried he's lost his mind. But the glory of God had come down into his life so strongly, he was able to compose this Messiah. And what a beautiful thing it has been to many people. The song, it's beautiful. But it came through some hard things. I tell you, some of our best lessons in life and some of the best ways to start putting features on Christ is when we have to go through some suffering with Him. When we have to go through some being misunderstood. There's some hard places. When you're misunderstood, you've had trouble maybe, you know, communicating, and you're misunderstood and falsely accused. It's hard. But you know, I've found in some of those places, you're able to put some detail and you're able to give color to the picture of life, that when it's all over and said and done, there's something beautiful about it. I was with my mom the day she died. And the day before she died, my dad came into the room. And you know, they didn't have a perfect marriage, but there was a lot of things my mom had to bear and forbear. And my dad said in his crude way, "Well, Ruby's are anything I can do." She just had her hand on her cheek and she said, "Nope." Nope. There was no anger. There was no ill will. And you know, that's helped me to see Christ more than any message, more than almost anything. It was drawing a picture of compassion, forgiveness that's printed in my mind, that's stamped there, that only God could do for a person. That little word. No. It's all been forgiven. It's under the blood, don't you see? All the wrongdoings and everything that happened in our life and everything that was wrong, it's all under the blood. I'm ready to go. She told my oldest son, she said, "Now son, I've done everything for you that I can do. I can't do any more. It's I'm through. My time, all my teaching and everything, I've done all I can do. I can't do any more." You see what it was doing for me? And the lessons in life that we get from God, we begin to see a picture of Him. We begin to see color come in. We begin to see compassion. And the picture gets beautiful. I'm sure this afternoon or some of you could draw some pictures and say, "Well, preacher, this is a dark side of my life that I've never been able to figure out." I've never been able to see Christ through this trouble in my life. But don't you understand, those dark backgrounds, those things that seem so obscure, that there's color and there's beauty in that. And we may not know. But the scripture says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. How many of us have given up? It was, I've followed Him for years. I've just worked for Him. I've done all these things for God. And then we get bitter in the end. And we don't follow on to know Him. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. The dark chapters in your life, the things that none of us can figure out sometimes. And, you know, coming to me, you might say, well, what about this? What about, I don't know. I don't have all the answers. All I know is He's got the canvas and He's painting things and He's putting sometimes dark places in there, and it'll help us to see the light. I don't know what, you might have some areas that you might say it doesn't make sense, there's nothing, no rhyme, no reason, but I do know that God understands today, and He wants us to see more than the darkness. You know, I was with a deputy, some deputies one night, and I didn't know what they had, but they was all looking through these binoculars, and I thought, what are you guys doing? Hey, preacher, look here. And I looked up at the stars, and you know, you could see a bright one, like these lights. They said, now watch, you focus in now and see how many stars you see. And I took those night vision binoculars. If you've never looked through any of them, it's amazing. And when I looked up in the sky, it wasn't just a few thousand stars that I saw. The whole sky was stars. You couldn't put your finger. They were everywhere. We can only see through a glass dart. We are humans. We don't have to understand everything, but God is painting a picture. He sees things far beyond what we can see. And He understands more than we'll ever know. But I'm just telling you, there are things in the darkness that you think is just black. You can't see. You can look with these at nighttime and you can see through the darkness, and you can see where it looks black. It's actually light all out in there. You see, sometimes our understanding is limited. It always is. God's understanding and His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. He knows and sees so many things that we can't. Yes. Our desire today is that we will have enough reason about us to be able to see God even in the dark times. And commit things to Him. Commit things to Him. Lord, I sure didn't see no reason in it. There's been things. I remember one time, Brother Richard Madden's son, Richard Jr., had a little boy, Ricky, and that boy loved him. Daddy loved him, took him with him on his work, changed his diaper on a backhoe, and had him out there with him. And Ricky's playing on the trailer. And the brakes didn't hold somehow, and that big old tire rolled over under him and killed him. We sang at his funeral. I remember so clear. I believe it was Jim and Anika and Trisha and I and some others. We sang at his funeral. And I tell you today, I've never understood the reason why that little boy had to die. I've never understood. That to me would be one of those dark parts of the picture that's hard to understand. I took care of a funeral, a little bitty week-old baby, and it was in February, and the temperature was so cold you could hardly stand out there at the funeral service, and they opened that casket, and here's this little baby. And I think how hard to leave your baby, but when it's so cold, to put the little baby in the ground, that's a hard thing to do. That's not easy. There's some dark things in life, folks, but through all of that, there's color. God is able to help us, even our hardest places, to be able to still sketch a few things and see more than just the outline. I see more than just the rough spots. It's God. I trust the Lord will bless us today. I pray the Lord will help us all to be able to see more than just a shadow. You see, this is a dull place to be when you're just coming to service and you're going through life, and all you're doing is just seeing an outline of this, and you know just enough truth to keep you out of trouble. You have just enough religion to make you miserable. God wants to do something better than that. He's got something better than just giving you enough religion. He's got salvation. He's got joy. He's got peace. He's got something to give us that'll be much better than just looking on some form. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power that He's got more than a form. He's got the real thing. And He wants to be real in our lives. I hope in this meeting the Lord will just bless, and He will put color. He will bless the ministry with color. He'll bless the ministry with experiences. He'll bless the ministry with the anointed Word of God that's able. It has life in it. The Word has life. That's what we share with people, the Word of life. It changes hearts. It makes people new. I pray this would be a good meeting. We'll get good to our souls. And maybe we've come here with just a form. And maybe we have just the outline. God can put color. He can put detail. He can bring to life things that look dead. And make life worth living. Amen.